Welcome to Wrestling with Heart, a podcast looking at pro wrestlers giving back to their community. Join me, Stanley Carr, as I interview wrestling's hottest names who use their platforms as entertainers to raise awareness and do community service.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Wrestling with Heart. This is the show where we talk with professional wrestlers and professional wrestling personalities about their lives in and outside of the ring, as well as doing acts of charity work, community service, volunteering, and spreading positivity. We're always about the positive vibes here on the show, and I've got a very special guest with me today. He has wrestled all over the country, all over the U.S., has wrestled in the New England area, wrestled for the NWA, and has wrestled for the Crockett's, several promotions. Pleased to welcome the one and only Mr. Joe Malkin. Joe, welcome to Wrestling with Heart.
How you doing, brother?
Good. So let's talk about your upbringing and childhood. Where are you from?
Well, originally Long Island, New York, but we moved away 1976 and moved to Florida, where pretty much is my home base, where I grew up.
You like it in Florida?
Well, I don't live in Florida now, but I mean, I have since moved to Connecticut the last 10 years, but Florida is where all my family is. You know, my mother, my brother, sisters, nephews, nieces, all that family crap.
Ah, I got you. So New England and Connecticut, that's got a chock full of history with wrestling too. Tell me about how you got interested in professional wrestling.
Well, that's an easy story. In New York, where I'm from, my grandfather used to, you know, take me to get my hair cut. I was about 8 years old. I would always go to this one barber shop, and, you know, I mean, we're going back to what I was born in the 60s, the early 60s. So we're going back a long ways. I'm not quite as young as you, my friend. But I'd get my hair cut, and they always had this little 20-inch black and white TV playing where you watch it, and they're always playing wrestling. And I used to watch Butcher Rashawn, Mad Dog Brawler, people like that. And I've always wanted to be a professional wrestler from that point on. Growing up as a kid in my teens, you know, 11, 12, 13, we moved to Florida, of course. And, you know, Gordon Solie had a group, Championship Wrestling from Florida. And it came on WTBS between 12 and 1 o'clock. And all my friends always wanted to go play football, blah, blah, blah. And I told them they had to wait. Why do you got to wait till 1 o'clock? Because I can't miss Gordon Solie's professional wrestling. So I'd sit there, I'd watch the wrestling, and, you know, of course, then I'd go, you know, play football. But at a young age, you know, I used to practice all the moves on my younger brother, who actually took the brunt of it. And next thing you know, what was I was playing semi-pro football in Tampa Bay for the Tampa Bay Scorpions. I was 17. I played for 2 years, and at the age of 18, I met this guy by the name of Ozell Harris. I'll never forget him. He was training to be a professional wrestler by the great Malenko in Tampa, Florida. So I says, well, I'd like to meet him. So he took me one Thursday, the following Thursday, actually, to meet Boris. His real name is Larry. But anyway, I met him, and he started training me. And literally 6 months later, I'm working, you know, outlaw circuit for him in places like Plant City, Florida, Waimama, Bahamas, going up against people like Tyree Pride, God rest his soul, people like that. You know, Bob Roop, Louis Estella, Raul Mata, Batman. I mean, all those people. Big Vern Henderson. Big boy, he was a lineman for the Green Bay Packers, but Malenko was training him. You know, we had a lot of people in our training class, pretty good names, like Chris Champion. Chris Champion was training with me at Malenko's school. Chris Champion has since passed away, but he made a big name for himself down here in Florida. His brother, Mark Starr, Mark Smith, but went by Mark Starr, who's also passed away, also made a pretty big name for himself, and people like that. But that started my career. Literally, I hooked up with a guy named Mike Jackson, who right now is in his mid 80s, and he's still wrestling out of Alabama. He called me the other day. But anyway, I hooked up with his group, and he would take wrestlers, him and Randy Barber, would take wrestlers from Florida, between Florida, Bill Watts' territory, UWF Mid-South, the Crockett's in Atlanta and stuff like that. And, you know, we would do jobs, you know, now it, back then it was called jobbers. Nowadays, I guess you call it enhancement talent. You call it whatever you want. You're still a jobber. But to make a long story short, I want to say the third time I went up to Bill Watts' territory, which was like maybe 4 weeks later, Bill Watts bought my contract, and that started my career in the territories as an underneath full-time wrestler. So, yeah, and that was in 1983. So I've been doing this a long time.
Yeah, what a great story. It seems like you were able to make that transition.
One place I forgot to mention, we were also doing Southeastern Continental for Ron and Robert Fuller and Jimmy Golden. We'd wrestle out of Batwell Auditorium, and I worked a lot of local shows there for them as well during that Mike Jackson movement before I actually hit the territories full time.
Yeah, definitely seems like in those days. I mean, of course, it's always been hard, but definitely seems like it was harder back then to really break into the wrestling business.
The problem with it back then, it was nepotism. Okay, if you were a family member, I'll give you an example. Blackjack Mulligan's son, Barry Windham. Obviously, he was a wrestler and a good wrestler, but Barry had a younger brother named Kendall Windham. And because he couldn't wrestle worth the crap back then, he had just started. He was skin and bones. And trust me, I had to wrestle him in Tampa, Florida. So he became a decent wrestler. But in the beginning, he was mediocre. He wasn't his brother or his father, but he did become good after a while. But because his name was Mulligan, There you go. You know, his father was a big name in the business. So, yeah, it was harder to break in. You really had to pay your dues back in those days. And I'll never forget, I bugged Wahoo McDaniel, who was the booker for Mike Graham's group, Gordon Solie out of Florida. I bugged him for about 5-6 months straight at Miami Beach Convention Center every time they came down there to give me a shot, give me a shot, give me a shot. Well, finally, one day down there, he says, okay, kids, you want a shot? Come up to Tampa, Florida to the Sportatorium on Tuesday where we do our TV taping, and I'll give you a shot. Well, I did that. I went up there. And now the way they did it back then is they taped 2 weeks in one day, two-week shows. So the first show, he put me up against Billy Jack Haynes. It's a name that most people should remember. But anyway, I got in the ring with him. We had a very good match. It was a decent match. Obviously, he went over, you know, and for those younger guys that don't know what going over means, that means you're winning. We never use the term you're winning and losing. It was going over or going under. Nowadays, everything has changed with the terminology. I was trained wrestling talk by Bob the Bullet Armstrong and Brad Armstrong back in the 80s, which they don't use anymore. But us old timers, we still use it. We're still a little bit of what we call kayfabe, even though the business has been, you know, infiltrated. We still, the old timers, consider kayfabe a religion to us. Put me up against Billy Jack Haynes. We had a really good match. We get into the locker room and Billy sits next to me. And he puts his arm around me and he says, I just want you to know something. And again, I was green as you could be. He says, Wahoo put you up against me because I'm the policeman of the group. And if any of y'all don't know what policeman is, they're the ones that the promoters put you up against if they want to hurt you and put you out of the business. Hence Steve Austin for WWF back in the day. All right. So he was the policeman there. And he said, Wahoo wanted me to hurt you, to discourage you, to put you out of the business. So I said to Billy, I says, well, why didn't you? He says, because when we locked up collar and elbow when the bell rang, you were very loose. And I wanted to give you a chance because you felt good. You know, wrestling, you got to be loose. If you're tight, you're called the crowbar. anything. Well, I don't know what they call it now, but back then it was a crowbar, and you got to expect a potato. A potato is a slip up where you actually hit somebody by accident or whatever. So he says, you know, I wanted to give you a shot. He says, I'm going to take some heat from Wahoo, but stick with it. You're good, kid. Keep working on it. We were like a big family. And you knew when, you know, like the younger guys like me who weren't as known, you know, like Ted DiBiase or Stock to Death Steve Williams or Jake the Snake or, you know, in the locker rooms, we pretty much kept our mouths shut. I used to ride the towns with Captain Redneck, Dick Burdock, Tommy Gilbert, Eddie Gilbert's dad. And I'd ride with Eddie Gilbert once in a while. I tag teamed with Eddie Gilbert a couple of times against Porkchop Cash and Mad Dog Boyd. Which were the Bruise Brothers back in the 84, 85, 86, and stuff like that. But those days were golden, brother.
Yeah, golden. Definitely seems like it was a time to be a fan, time to really enjoy what you were doing, and it seems like you were very passionate about it too.
Well, yeah, especially when you wrestle places like Sam Houston Coliseum in Houston, Texas. You know, and you're wrestling for like 40 to 50, 60,000 people. I mean, that was a University of New Orleans or the Centroplex in Baton Rouge. You know, it was an adrenaline high, man.
Yeah.
An adrenaline high. You know, and you don't want to ever let that go. You know, so, you know, I'm looking back in my head and I have those memories, you know, just like people like Magnum T.A., who, by the way, beat me in 17 seconds on national TV with the belly-to-belly back in his heyday. You know, it was fun times.
Let's switch gears and talk about the charity work that you've done over the years. I know you had mentioned to me that you and your wife have done a lot of charity work over the years. Tell me about some of the stuff you've done in your community.
Well, over the last 10 years out in the park, the Connecticut, Eastern Connecticut area and the Westerly Rhode Island and stuff. We do a lot of charity events. We help out as well as donate for the Chamber of Commerce. We also do a lot for a place out here called Johnny Cake Center that helps homeless people, and then Warm Center who helps homeless people get a place to live and things like that. There was one thing I did a couple of years back for the chamber where I had to get sponsors to sponsor me. We're up here by Foxwoods Casino, and they were putting in a zip line, a big zip line. So the deal was a lot of big name people in town, people who own businesses, myself, this, that, and the other. We'd go out and get sponsors, donations, and what have you. And then when it was all said and done, we got a free turn at the zip line. And let me tell you something, you know, that zip line's crazy. That's where I lost my tooth. I didn't lose my wrestling. I lost it on the zip line.
Wow, that's – who would have thought?
Well, they failed to tell me that when you get to the bottom, close your mouth, because you got to stretch your feet out and hit the rubber. Well, I was too busy looking over at my daughter. We were laughing and stuff like that, and I hit, and it just, pretty painful.
Yeah.
Pretty painful.
Why do you feel passionate about helping out in your community?
Well, you know, you gotta respect the community that you live in, or you don't get respect back. I mean, you know, that's a tough question because you got a lot of good people. You got a lot of good companies, people who are homeless. I mean, you know, I have been known to, you know, buy hamburgers at McDonald's or whatever and, you know, have an extra one. And I see somebody home, I give them something to eat. I mean, somebody's got to do it. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of people out there that just put their noses up and just walk away. I mean, I'm not a fan of these people that stand on the side of the road with a sign. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of that is not real. They're fake. But I like to help people who need help. If I'm able to do it and I have the means, I'm going to do it. Obviously, I'm not going to take away from my family. But if I have the means, I'm going to help you out. That's just how I am. I've always been that way.
Yeah, that's well said. Well, Joe, this has been wonderful getting the chance to speak with you. It means a lot to me and my listeners and viewers that are watching this on YouTube. Where can people find more about you? Are you on social media? Do you have a page that people can find you?
Well, my Facebook page is Blaine Broadway Joe Malkin. But we also have United States Wrestling Federation on Facebook. And, I'm being that I'm just starting everything up, I don't have a lot of social media yet, but we're working on that.
All right. We are
working on that. I've got a team of people. Again, I don't really understand this social media stuff, so that's why I've got other people, younger folks like yourself, that know about all this stuff. They say you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Well, you can, but I don't want to learn.
Well, that's going to be really exciting. I'm looking forward to seeing what's going to become of the new organization, and I wish you all the best with it. Joe, again, thank you so much, and you're more than welcome to come back on the show.
I appreciate that, and I enjoy doing these things. I enjoy telling about, the territories, and next time I come on, I'll give you some more stories.
Would love to.
I can't throw out them all at one time.
Exactly.
I appreciate you asking me to be on, and yeah, anytime you want to hear some stories, you know how to get in touch with me. I have no problem being on your page whatsoever. I enjoy it, brother.
All right. Thank you again.
My pleasure, Stanley. You have a wonderful weekend, my friend.
You too.
Tell everybody Bye-bye. Out there, we'll see you on the mat.
That's right. All right. Have a good one.
This is Wrestling with Heart. I hope you found this podcast to be informative and entertaining. If you did, please hit the subscribe button and look out for the next edition.